we could continue. I want to just reset here. We continue. If you have thoughts on the soccer stuff, we can do that. Texas said every time, imagine every time Harry Kane quit, every time he got kicked in the leg. Yeah, that guy was passionate. I'm pulling for England from here on out. Like what I saw from them at Mexico. To go into Azteca and win, that kind of passion in that kind of environment and that kind of altitude, they got my fandom. With that said, now that the U.S. is out, do you feel that it's you're still going to watch the World Cup?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I will admit that.
There's still a bunch of really, really good matchups coming up. France and Morocco is going to be good. France is going to beat Morocco. Spain and Belgium, I'm not sure either. France has got to walk through to the finals. Morocco is tougher than Spain and Belgium. Fair?
I would say yes.
I wasn't impressed with Spain yesterday, or Portugal.
And don't forget, Morocco won independence from France. Morocco's Independence Day is July 6th, I believe.
Totally forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Norway and England should be an absolute awesome. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. And maybe Argentina, Colombia. But then England or Norway versus Argentina, maybe. Like, there's some good ones coming up. And then a France, Argentina, France, England, or France, Norway. Man, there's a lot of good ones going to be coming up. But, and so you'll still watch it. So we can still take on that. But I do want to say now that the U.S. is out, now that it is July the 7th, now that the Big 12 media day start today, Clemson has their media day starting next week, we can start talking some college football. Purposely hold off because I don't want to get burned out. But let's talk a little bit about it. And let me preface this next statement. I'm gonna land this plane softly for you. Clemson going to LSU, I think it is very, very fair to say that it is extremely difficult to analyze LSU's football program right now. It is very, very fair to say that if I'm an LSU fan or a part of LSU, like I'm looking at saying this team has potential to be elite. You go out and you spend $50 million and you go get a Jordan Seaton. And you go get a Sam Levitt, and you go get a Winston Watkins, and you have a chance. You get a Malik Blockton, you get a Prince Umamamillion, however you say his name. You get a TJ Dottery. There's a chance you go out, and this could be really, really good. But I also don't know. I saw Penn State do it and some other teams do it. I also don't know. They did it last year, by the way. LSU did. I also don't know if that talent is gelled on September the 5th. I just don't know that yet. A little less than 2 months out now. One of the hard parts of knowing it is are you going to get your $50 million worth? My guess is yes, but I don't know that because on a current two deep, or current projected two deep, on offense, there's six brand new starters. On their two deep, now that's a starting 11. On their two deep, there's 10 transfer guys in. So that's 16. Then there's 17, 18, 19, 20. There's 22 on their three deep, 22 transfer guys on offense. Out of 33, 22 of them are transfers. And there's two freshmen, by the way, so 25 to 33, so in other words, I don't know. I know Harlan Berry back at running back, and he had a good freshman season last year, 491 yards rushing. He's a good back, but that's about it coming back. Two offensive linemen. Actually, you know what? Four offensive linemen. Sorry, three offensive linemen coming back. How good are they? I don't know. They lost two first round or two high draft picks. But you go out and get a Jordan Seaton. Their wide receiver core, eight of their nine guys at wide receiver are either transfers or freshmen. Their top six wide receivers are transfers. So I can sit here and tell you, oh, well, I know. Jace Brown last year at Kansas State caught 41 balls for 712 yards and five touchdowns. I think he's a good player, 5'10 guy. I think he's a good player. I don't know how he's going to do there in the system. I think Lane Kiffin's offense is always going to be good, but I don't know. Jackson Harris last year at was he at Hawaii or Stanford? This is his third school. Last year, 49 catches, 963 yards and 12 touchdowns. That's a really good year. Big 6'2 receiver there. Winston Watkins, a guy came over from Ole Miss, 26 catches, 373 yards and one touchdown. I think he's a good player, but I don't know. Eugene Wilson, kid from Florida, last year caught 27 balls, 239 yards and three touchdowns. I think he's a good player. But again, in this system, how do you know if you got 8 of 9 wide receivers are brand new? You got 6 offensive tackles. 5 of the 6 offensive tackles, and they're 3 deep, brand new guys. 4 transfers and a freshman. Weston Davis was a redshirt freshman last year, started. That's the only tackle that has any experience at LSU. Now, Jordan Seaton, it was an All-American at Colorado. I think he's going to be a really good player for him. I think that's the case. Paid several million dollars for him. Should be. But I don't know. What's the depth like? Well, 10 of the 11 on defense, on offense, I should say, are brand-new portal guys. Is that going to work? Last year, I thought it was going to work. But last year, all those transfers didn't work out at all, and they were 7-6. Last year, on a team that had superstars, supposedly, in Berrien Brown and Xavier Thomas and Aaron Anderson, all these great wide receivers, and had Kate Durham coming back, it's like, man, last year, this offense is going to be electric, and they scored 22.8 points a game. And they rushed for 104 yards a game. And you could say, well, Mickey, they turn it over? No, they were +7 in turnovers last year. So it's not like that they – and to be honest with you, they look bad at times. They lost badly to A&M. Vanderbilt beat them. Lost at home to A&M, by the way. Looked bad. Of their 7 wins, to be honest with you, the 7 wins – they were all close wins. A 7-point win against Clemson, a 10-point win against a bad Florida team, a 1-point win against a bad Arkansas team, a 3-point win against a bad Western Kentucky, or on the road against Western Kentucky. Like, this team didn't look very good. And all of a sudden now, new coach, new staff, is all going to be turned around in week 1? I don't know that. Now, I preface it. See, on the other side.
And honestly, that +7 that LSU was last year,
yeah,
that might have all 7 of those might have come against Florida.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing that they only won by 10 points.
That was a terrible football game.
But again, hey, brand new squad. Every single one of them.
My good friend Dale makes a good point. He says, well, tell us what you do know. And laughing emoji. Well, less than I've ever known in my life. I feel like Plato or Socrates. The older I get, the more I realize I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know as more I don't know. But with that said, I know it's in Baton Rouge. I know game day will be there. I know they'll be all fired up for Lane Kiffin. I know they spent a bunch of money. And I know that Clemson has quarterback issues. Like, I just have a hard time thinking that Chris Fasina is going to lead this offense into Baton Rouge and win this football game. And so I'm watching the movie Jaws. What? What the heck are you talking about? Well, $50 million roster, Baton Rouge, and Lane Kiffin's first game. I think Clemson's going to need a bigger boat. I think that's a very, very difficult ask. A $30 million roster versus a $50 million roster. Sam Levitt. By the way, I'm not sold that Sam Levitt's some sort of superstar. Others might be. I'm not. I'm not sure he's a good person. I'm not sure he's a likable guy. And last year, he was hurt, but 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns and 3 picks. I'm just not sure he's some sort of – and he's not healthy. Like, I'm just not sure that's going to be the second coming of Joe Burrow. But maybe – I mean, they didn't spend $50 million to suck. And I do know that Whit Weeks is a great football player. I do know that DJ Pickett is a great football player. And in the end, at home, $50 million with Lane Kiffin and game day, that's just a – it is a very, very difficult ask. The tight end, Green, I do know him. And Tre'Davious Green is a absolute monster of a man and a very difficult guy to cover. 6'7 and 240 and 33 passes, 433 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. So that's what I do know. Green and Levitt and Seton and Pickett and Weeks and Lane Kiffin and Baton Rouge and $50 million, I just think you're going to need a bigger boat. I put it this way. I think this is the kind of team that with Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence, this is the kind of team you go down there and you can win in an awful difficult environment. But the current status of Clemson football, talent-wise, and where they are and going into that ambush pit they're going into, I think it's a very difficult ask. Thoughts on that?
I'm not looking forward to it.
It's a very good way to put it. It's weird to say, but I kind of had that feeling against Georgia a couple times. Got the feeling now. I'm looking forward to football. I'm looking forward to Clemson football. I'm just not looking forward to Clemson going down there and getting their bell rung and needing, you know, knowing you got to have a bigger boat. Short break. Thoughts on that. I also have, if you want to talk about some Clemson football thoughts, I also have quarterback thoughts. So let's unveil it all, man. Let's just go ahead and get into it. Short break, much more after this. Clemson just beat LSU 24-10. The Vecina goes 17-25 for 285 and a touchdown. What's your show sound like? Well, first of all, we're not going to be on the Monday. It's Labor Day. Tuesday morning, September the 8th. It's going to sound like euphoria. It's going to sound like the validation of Dabo and the portal and the Vecina thing. Like, hey, we all got on him. And I hope that's what it is, by the way. And I hope that that's exactly how it all works out. It will sound like euphoria. It will sound like, again, the validation of what Dabo has preached. And in our program, it'll be an indictment on Lane Kiffin. It'll be an indictment on the transfer portal and NIL. And it'll be about $50 million, and that's what we got, compared to our $30 million beat your $50 million, and our coach beat your coach, and our quarterback beat our stay-at-home quarterback. But it'd be a validation of all of that if that happens. Thoughts?
After recent letdowns, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to project that. I'm going to be pessimistic and hope that I'm wrong.
I misread this, by the way. First of all, I'm combining two here because Gabe got in earlier. And he said, what would it sound like if Clemson won the game? I misread. I'm so sorry. But I misread what Edub wrote. He goes, if Clemson gets beat 24-10. Clemson gets beat 24-10. If Vecina does that, what should show sound like? Clemson just got beat 24-10. I'm sorry. If they get beat 24-10, I've never had a Clemson game where people – well, I'll take that back. When Clemson lost the first national championship loss out to Alabama, there was a lot of hope after that loss. I don't have a whole lot of moral victories here for Clemson football. Our fans here, our listeners here, our texters, our callers here, I don't see a whole lot of that. 24-10 is about what you would expect. But see the 17-25, 285 touchdown, maybe better than what you would expect. What would it sound like? I don't think it would be irate end of the year. I got a great text just now, but oh, by the way, on that subject, my friend Dale gets back in. And boy, Dale, you're hitting home runs today. Said, LSU game starts the season. I just hope it does not end the season. It has kind of felt that way in the past, hadn't it? that Clemson football season gets derailed in week one. Isn't that what happened in 2021 where the Tigers come in ranked third in the country and look terrible offensively against Georgia? Isn't that what happened in 23 where the Tigers come in ninth in the country and look terrible at Duke? Isn't that what happened in 24 where the Tigers ranked 14th in the country and look just get thumped by Georgia? Isn't that what happened last year? The Tigers ranked fourth in the country and get beat by LSU at home. So that's for the last five seasons where your season is wrecked right off the bat. Good thought of 0290. Is it really $50 million roster, or did they overpay players and that's why it costs so much? Probably a little both. I think that's fair to say a little both. Very good question, though, by the way. Well, you can tell in football season where I get these unbelievable, really good questions. I love this, and we'll get this later today or now, too, if you want. 6180. Does Tate Reynolds play in game one at any point? I don't think so. I don't think you want a true freshman that's not Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson going into Baton Rouge and playing a lot. Any, maybe a package, maybe a short yardage package, maybe a goal line package, a two-point conversion package, maybe. Tate Reynolds and his running ability, you know, the big thighs, the big solid guys, maybe in the run game, maybe some sort of, not wildcat package, but some sort of run package, maybe. Maybe. One thing you don't want to play, you don't want to force him there due to injury. Now, with that said, I saw a very interesting thread on a message board, forgot which one it was, about what would it take to see Tate Reynolds and when would it take it. Very big picture here. We're gonna dust over these things or dive into these things head first all the next 2 months. But I think a lot of that has to do with how Christopher Vecina plays, but a lot of that has to do with how the season is going. If, and more so, by the way, on how the season is going as opposed to how Vecina is playing. You see, in my opinion, let's say Vecina just plays average in each of these two scenarios. He's playing average football. He's not killing you. He's not winning games, not losing games. He's just playing average football. And Clemson loses to LSU, loses at Cal, loses to Miami, and now you're 2-3 of an open date before Charleston Southern. That feels different than him playing average football. And to me, the Cal game is the one because you're going to be underdogs, double-digit underdogs to LSU, underdogs to Miami. So at 3-2 with an open date and the rest of the year looking manageable, Christopher Cena is the guy. An average Christopher Cena is the guy at 3-2 because if your two losses are to a top 15 LSU and a top 5 Miami, then that's one thing. At 2-3 with a loss to Cal and only beating Georgia Southern and North Carolina with an open date, hey, we got a freshman over here. The season's kind of over. You got three losses in the month of September and early October. And now it's time to kind of turn the page. Let's get really excited about something else. You break him in against Charleston Southern, and he plays a little more against Virginia Tech at Florida State, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Duke, South Carolina. And by the end of the year, he's playing more and more. You're building on something, and you kind of build your program around him and the future. At that 2-3-year season, all your goals this year are off the table. You're not winning anything else, and so why keep playing a guy rather than building for the future kind of a thing? That's not having anything to do with how Vecina's playing. That's him playing the same in all the first five games. 3-2 is different than 2-3. 4-1 is different than 1-4. With him, again, that has very little to do with him. If he's lighting it up and you lost to LSU 43-42 and you lost to Cal 40-39 and he lost to Miami 52-51 and he's throwing for 400 yards, yeah. if you're he's playing no matter what, Vecina, that is. If you lost 10-3 to LSU, 17-10 to Miami, and 24-21 to Cal, and the offense isn't moving it, that feels different too. So these aren't just math classes. These are art classes. How does it look kind of a thing? But I'm just taking the middle of the road deal of if Vecina just plays average, it does depend on what the record is and how the – because you got to move forward. You got to give hope at that point in time. You're at 2-3, you've got no hope. At 2-3 with an open date after Miami with the rest of the schedule, Clemson can beat Charleston Southern, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Duke, and South Carolina. But if you did it with a freshman quarterback and you say, oh, my goodness, man, we went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We went 6-1 down the stretch with a freshman. Man, now you feel like, oh, we're back on a roll now. We can build around this guy now. Recruiting is good right now, man. Like, we're going to be back. Like, that's what Deshaun kind of felt like, right? Like, man, we're going to next year. This is going to, you know, no, we're not going 15-0 and playing a national championship like that. But, yeah, that's what it felt like. So that has nothing to do with Vecina at all. That just has to do with where you're going and how that looks. But, again, if you're losing 42-41, he's throwing for 400 yards, then you're not going to take him out of the football game. So, again, these are all not just the math of 2-3 and 3-2, but the art of how does it look? And what are the optics? So it's both. It's both. Thoughts on that? Little clip.
I hope it doesn't come to that. I'd feel much more comfortable because I hate that I'm having to ask this question. Vezina, redshirt junior.
Yes.
Okay. As much as I'd love to buy into the hype of Tate Reynolds, I feel like he's just so much of an unknown at this point. And I know we've heard a lot of things about him performing well in camp and preseason, but we've heard that before.
Yeah. Look, Tate Reynolds is not Deshaun Watson. Tate Reynolds is not Trevor Lawrence. And I feel pretty doggone sure that Tate Reynolds is not Taj Boyd. Probably closer to Taj in style, too. Taj was a thick, tough, physical runner of the football. But Tate Reynolds doesn't throw it like Taj Boyd does.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage. He's very developable. And what you're hopeful is that Chad Morris can develop him. And he can be a dual threat guy. And he might have a little, you know, he might have a little you know, the physical toughness, a little air about him kind of a thing. You know, we've got to see all that. I don't know that yet. I don't know, you know, competitive-wise and what all it looks like. Yeah. 1947 said, Tate Reynolds is not Watson or Lawrence, but he is Tim Tebow. Wait a minute. You're talking about the Heisman Trophy-winning Tim Tebow? The national championship-winning Tim Tebow? No. I don't think you can. I mean, style-wise, yeah, Tim Tebow was a 5-star, number one quarterback in the country. Nah, come on now. Come on. Tim Tebow won 2 national championships, was a BCS national championship game most valuable player, and won a Heisman Trophy, consensus All-American. Nah. Style-wise, yeah, and Tebow was not a great thrower of the football either, but I think Tebow's a better runner than Reynolds. But style-wise, yeah, I get some of that. I'll allow that. But Tebow came into a freshman year as a 5-star and high things expectation. I mean, Reynolds was a low 4, high 3-star guy. And again, a lot of that can develop. We'll see. And Tim Tebow had to beat out Chris Leak, if you remember, where, you know, that's a little bit different than having to beat out Chris Vecina, too. So there's more opportunity there. So we'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun keeping up with it. I like the football talk, man. Didn't take the Addison Curry text line a whole long time, did it? Jump back into this mode. You notice nobody's talking any soccer here in this hour.
Thank goodness.
Texas, was Tim Tebow really that good? Or was his team really good and had a different style than the world we're used to at the time? Yeah, both. I think both. Texas said Tim Tebow was a great leader of men, too. That's why he settled at Florida, plus a massive amount of talent. He was a good quarterback at the college level. Yeah, all that. I'd love to see that be, you know, Tate Reynolds. That'd be awesome. Take that right now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The final segment, including a couple phone calls when you return after this. Blues, and man, that's good. Appreciate Freddie this morning. Hey, our great friends at Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. I learn from Will Clanton all the time. I am a Will Clanton fan, and when Will Clanton tells me you need three estimates when you get a mortgage or buy a new home, I listen, buddy. I listen. If one of your three is Prime Lending, you're going to love Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. The very best in the business. My last two mortgages have been with them, and our, if we do one another one, we'll do it with Prime Lending. Refinance and remodeling, which we've done both of those, or buying a new home. Prime Lending, easy to remember. Check them out. Give them a chance. Make them one of your three. PrimeLendingSC.com. Let me say this, too. I spent a lot of time talking about rentals and Messina. One of the things that I do feel pretty strong about on the Messina deal, I don't think that Messina is an arm talent. I don't think that Messina has a very strong arm. I don't consider him a great throw of the football. I don't consider him a very accurate throw of the football. I don't consider him a great runner of the football. But I tell you where it will improve this year. Twofold. I think he is a natural, genuine leader, which you did not have the last couple of years. I think Cade Klubnik was forced to be a leader, was forced into a role as a ninth grader, 10th grader, 11th grader, and then here. I look at and maybe I'm 100% wrong on this. I don't think I am. Cade Klubnik came across to me as plastic. There was nothing authentic about it. He had to play a role. He's a quarterback, and I'm going to play with my hair a little bit and look like the role, and I'm gonna try to say the things that I'm supposed to say. I'm robotic in a Prescott, I don't think it was natural to him at all. I don't think it was authentic at all. And I think his teammates kind of saw that a little bit. I don't think that it is the authenticity was there. So I think you get that from Messina. And the second thing, you've heard me do this a gazillion times now, way too often. I think you're going to get rid of the absolute just head-scratching, boneheaded, pee on the carpets. Man, what in the absolute heck are you thinking moments? Running out of bounds behind the chains rather than throwing the ball away. Calling your own number, changing the play at line of scrimmage we didn't have to, keeping the ball on the RPOs, and like this stuff you just go, what? And no timeouts left, North Carolina telling him, hey, man, you got to throw the ball in the end zone or throw the ball away and running the ball in the goal line. Like this stuff you go, man, what? The end of quarters, end of halves, not knowing the time on the clock, not knowing the down and distances, throwing it underneath the chains on third and long. Like just some of that. Texture makes a good point. I think you'll see Messina with more sacks, but the 4 and 5 variety, not the one that you're always reversed out. And now it's the second and 11. So the Texas said he'll take more sacks, but it'll be 4 or 5 yards variety, not the 18-yard backwards right about now, second 28. Like, just the boneheaded stuff that, like, what in the absolute teetotal heck are you thinking? Are you – you know better than to do that. Why are you doing that? Why are you handing it to the wrong guy? Like, I don't get that at all. Messina's not going to play in the NFL, but he's also not going to do the things that just go, what? What? 654 Roar, Scott in Greenville, Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for hanging on so long, man. How you doing? Hey, Scotty. You with me? No, Scotty. Scott, hang on. I'll come back to you. Let me get Butch and Fountainhead. Butch, my man.
My man. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Man, I'm great, buddy. You okay?
Good, man. Good. Hey, you touched on something that I said to a couple of my Clemson buddies, and it started a long time ago with, like, Georgia. I asked, why would you start your season with just like a massive game.
Well, I mean, you like want the – when you win those games – if when you lose those games, they're not the end of the world. When you win those games, it's a great opportunity for you. But unfortunately, Clemson has laid such eggs in it. They scored 3 points against Georgia. They scored 7 points against Duke. They scored 3 points against Georgia. Scored 10 points against LSU. So now it's not just the fact you lost the game. It's the fact that you just looked awful in those games, and it does have an effect on the rest of the season. Had you lost – and you lost 24-21 or 31-27 or whatever, and they're close, and your offense looked pretty good, and you could build on something in those games. It's not an end of the world scenario. But when you score
right
3 points, 7 points, 3 points, and 10 points, now you're like, well, I was looking forward to it, but now we're not what we thought it was going to be. This is awful. So
well, and I didn't mean no jab to him at the time. And, you know, that's no punch towards you guys or poking jab at you or nothing, man. It's just, that speaks volumes when you want to start your season off like that, man. You better put up or shut up, you know?
Yeah. It is.
But, I mean,
it's interesting.
The same for us with Georgia, you know?
Yeah, all those years, yeah, you had that. Yeah. Look,
yeah, you based your season off of how bad you lost to Georgia, or yeah, if you beat Georgia.
I know this.
We based our season.
I know this how teams work, and how what coaches say. It is just so nice because so many things go wrong in week one, and you improve the most in the season, suppose between week one and week two, that you'd feel so much better about it if you just had a little bit of a soft landing, and you can come in and move from there. Yeah, let's ease into this thing. Yes. Let's improve for sure.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Let's ease into it a little bit,
yeah,
and then go for that head thumping the next week if you want to.
Yeah. Good point. Hey, Texas makes a point. Those games are scheduled when Clemson's good enough to win those games. Now they're not. And so, yeah, if it was Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson, yeah, you play those games all day long. But now these teams, nah, you're just not good enough to win those games. You're going to need a bigger boat.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Good stuff.
Good luck to both of us this year is what I'm saying. Let's get it on. I'm ready for it, Mickey. I'm ready.
I'm with you. Let's go, buddy. Let's go. Thank you, Butch.
All right.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, man.
His guy's the same way. I mean, Norris Sellers, I said, how many times did you're scrambling, you reverse out, and you're way back there. You took a sack at an 11-yard sack, now a second 21. Or how many times was the guy running out of the pocket, and you're outside the tackle box, and instead of throwing the ball away, you ran out of bounds six lines behind the chains. Now it's second 16 rather than second 10. Like, just how? I know you're not taught to do that, Lenore Sellers and Cade Klubnik, but time and time and time again, you did it. Is that a coach's fault? Is that a player's fault? They're telling them to throw the ball away. I know that Lenore Sellers was taught to throw that football away. I know that Kay Klubnik is taught to throw that football away, and yet these guys run out of bounds behind the chains? Like, what? Didn't Sellers do it on like a fourth down one time?
I think you're thinking about Nico.
Oh, Nico did that, yeah, in a bowl game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a college football playoff.
Yeah. Texas said, if DJ runs the ball against Georgia the five times with a wide open field, we win that game. Yeah, if you don't throw a pick six either. I mean, that was the only touchdown in the game was a pick six. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, BradHughesInsurance.com, better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with them, certainly help you out. Anything you want in insurance, homeowners and auto owners combine that, you're going to love it. It's my great friends, Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. I got one little message board thing for you, too. Yesterday, you know, I'm a member of TigerIllustrated.com. I suggest everybody do it. Yesterday, Clemson's recruiting two quarterbacks, and Paul Shrelo's commenting on it, and both of them are like 5'11 guys. And 5'11, 160. And somebody asked about the size of quarterbacks, and Paul Shrelo's answer was, well, DJ was 6'4 and 225. That make you feel better? Man, it has been a minute. It has been a disaster. Who'd have thought at the end of the Ohio State game when Trevor Lawrence walks off the field, that you'd have that the last 5 years, right? Yeah, the last 5 years. It's been 5 years of that. So I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of looking like that at quarterback. Did I leave you adequate time today to pick out the – we're not skipping music anymore. We're ending the show with a bang. We got a big kick at the end. We're gonna sprint this thing down, chase it all the way running through the line. So what kind of two-minute drill music you have for me today? Getting some rental properties, managing rental properties. What are you talking about, building a house? What are you talking about, looking at some renovations? What are you talking about, buying a house, selling a house? Think about it. It's ericnewton.com, tiger-properties.com, Newton Scott Associates. Really good stuff there. While on the subject of passing gas, that's a great example of the difference in 3 and 2. It's the biggest example ever of the difference in 3 and 2. If you're in an elevator and there's two of you, both of you know who. If it's 3, then there's still a doubt. Don't even thank Dr. Milt Louder. Great job. Up next, Faxon and Sam. Great job. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Folks, have a wonderful Tuesday. Most importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's when we will see you here on the radio. WCCPF.